Well, our reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to read Mark chapter 2 and verses 13 to 17. Mark is the second Gospel of the New Testament, so it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 13, is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read, "He went out again beside the lake, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" The sound of music. How do you solve a problem like Maria? The Gospel of Mark. How do you solve a problem like Levi? Well, please come with me to the reading which we had, Mark's Gospel and chapter 2 and verses 13 to 17. And we have three things to say this evening, 3 points. And point number one is this: how do you solve a problem like Levi? Well, what is the problem? What's the problem with Levi? Well, we're told, chapter 2, verse 13, Jesus went out again beside the lake, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. Levi sitting at the tax booth. He's a tax collector. Well, so what? Well, how do you feel when the traffic warden puts a ticket on your windscreen when you're just 5 minutes over the time? Well, they're only doing their job, and you've broken the law. Okay, but what if that traffic warden was working for a government that you despised, maybe even working for an occupying power? And what if you've been parking your car in that space for years, and it's been free ever since anyone can remember, but now the rules have changed, and you suddenly find a ticket on your car? And what if that traffic warden didn't issue a fixed penalty, but actually charged what they thought they could get away with and pocketed the rest? Do you see how tax collectors were viewed? So here's Levi. He's a local customs official. He works for one of the Herods. And of course, behind Herod is the hated Romans. So Levi, he's part of an oppressive system. And this customs post at Capernaum is a relatively recent addition. Before then, the kingdom had been under the control of Herod the Great. When he died, it was divided up amongst his sons, and so popping up in this area was a customs post. And maybe your family's been passing this way for generations, and now you have to pay a toll for the privilege. And what's more, with the force of law behind him, Levi can charge what he can get away with and pocket the difference. And worse even than all of that, this is Israel. Here are God's people. And here is one of their own working for the pagans, fleecing his own people. That's the problem that we have with Levi. And the ultra-religious, the hardline Pharisees, this powerful pressure group, these self-appointed guardians of God's law, they put their finger on it. Later, when they see Jesus eating with a whole room of tax collectors, you can hear their outrage. Verse 16, and the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? What is Jesus doing befriending people like this? As far as they're concerned, tax collectors and their ilk, sinners, are beyond the pale. They need to be quarantined, outlawed, condemned. As far as they're concerned, when God's kingdom comes, tax collectors will be cast out of the kingdom into the outer darkness. So how do you solve a problem like Levi? Well, say the Pharisees, you don't. You don't solve a problem like Levi. You wait for the judgment. Because God is against these people. And for these people, there is no way back. But then Jesus comes along. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. What was it like sitting in that tax booth day after day? What was it like to be hated, despised, vilified? You're a tax collector. At best, you might get some icy politeness. At worst, you're going to be sworn at, denounced, maybe cursed. But then Jesus comes. Doesn't shout at you, doesn't swear at you, doesn't grumble or complain, doesn't condemn you. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. No one ever spoke to Levi like that. This is a word of welcome. In fact, it is an irresistible call. Follow me. And he rose, verse 14, and followed him. Up until now, Levi has been serving Herod Antipas, who styled himself King of the Jews. But here is Jesus. He's the real King of the Jews. He's the king to end all kings. And from now on, Levi is going to serve him. Jesus said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Levi surrenders control of his life to the true king, the one who really is worthy, the savior of the world. And there's something else here. That little word, he rose and followed him. It's a resurrection word. He rose. There's something more going on here than just simply he gets up and follows Jesus. He leaves his old life to begin a new life. A new life following Jesus. If you like, the Levi that was, the Levi who'd sold his soul for money, that Levi is dead. This is now a new Levi, a resurrected Levi. He's a changed man, forgiven, healed, raised to this new life. A lover and follower of Jesus. And of course, the first thing he does is to invite all his old friends to come and meet his new friend, Jesus. And in fact, in Luke's words, he holds a great feast, as in Luke's gospel, a great feast in his house. And of course, when the Pharisees see Jesus surrounded, reclining with all these tax collectors and sinners, they are outraged. Remember their view of these people? How do you solve a problem like Levi? You don't. But here's Jesus relaxing with a whole room full of Levites. And as he reclined at the table in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus. He seemed so at home with them, so relaxed with them. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw him, he was eating with tax collectors and sinners, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? How can he welcome? How can he befriend? How can he relax with people like this? What's going on?" And Jesus tells them exactly what's going on. Verse 17, "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Imagine a doctor who refuses to see his patients because they might make him sick. Who says, "The sick are not my problem." A doctor who says, "I want nothing to do with the sick." Sick people, says Jesus, need healing. And tax collectors and sinners need rescuing. Rescuing from a life that leads to hell. Sick people need to be made whole. And says Jesus, sinners and tax collectors, they need resurrection. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And these sinners, far from contaminating Jesus, Jesus makes them well. He raised them to a new life. Life that begins now in this world. Life that will reach its fullness in the world to come. God's new world. This isn't the religion of the Pharisees. This is bigger than any religion. This is life. "Follow me." He rose. Resurrection. Life. And followed him. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We sometimes read that at baptisms. Here is a new Levi. A new Levi. "The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So how do you solve a problem like Levi? You let him hear the call of Jesus. The call of Jesus. "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. A fish was kept in a large tank. And the researcher, he blocked off at one end of the tank with a glass partition. And he put food in the sealed-off section of the tank. So the fish couldn't get to the food. And after repeated attempts of trying to get to the food, remember there's a glass barrier, the fish gave up trying. Well, then the researcher removed the glass partition and put more food in. There was now nothing to stop the fish from getting to the food. But because the fish didn't believe it could get to the food, it didn't try. And actually, the poor thing died of starvation. The fish didn't believe that things had changed, and so it perished. Now, up to a point, Levi is like that fish. And the Pharisees, with all their rules and all their religion, they've put in place a glass partition. Now, on the other side of that glass partition, there is the promise of life. But of course, there's no way that Levi can keep those rules. So he's given up even trying, given up any hope of ever being saved. He's just a sinner under a death sentence, so, well, I might as well make the best of it. But now Jesus comes, and he's not like the Pharisees. In fact, what he does, he removes that partition and says, it's not like that. The way to life is not by keeping impossible rules. Actually, those impossible rules will keep you out. The way to life is to hear the call of Jesus, is to hear my voice and to come to me. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Says Jesus, I'm the one who gives life. I'm the one who removes the obstacles. And though it contradicts all that Levi has been told, and maybe all that he believes, he hears the voice of Jesus, and he comes to him and lives. He arose and followed him. My friend, I wonder if you've given up trying. Maybe you believe the way to eternal life, the way to healing, the way to salvation lies in being religious, in going to church and keeping the rules. Well, you don't want to be religious. You don't want to keep rules. And maybe you know, well, I can't anyway. So you've given up trying. The way to life is to hear the welcoming voice of Jesus and to come to him. It's only those who refuse to believe that Jesus saves, it's only they who shut themselves out of life. And of course, the irony here is that the scribes of the Pharisees, the self-righteous scribes of the Pharisees, will close themselves out because they won't come to Jesus. Well, to point number two. How do you solve a problem like Levi today? Now, maybe today there wouldn't be a problem. This is a more tolerant age. You know, maybe Levi had a difficult childhood. Maybe this was the only job he could get. And after all, he's made some success, hasn't he? And it's, you know, decent job. He works for the king. Maybe we'd be much more tolerant of Levi. So, well, we wouldn't have to solve a problem like Levi today, and therefore you don't need a Jesus today. Okay. What if we called Levi Harvey? What if we called him Harvey Weinstein, a convicted sex offender? Or maybe then he's not worth saving. You know, a man like that is just a sick person. How do you solve a problem like Harvey? Well, maybe you don't. Maybe he deserves all that he gets. Maybe there is no redemption for people like Harvey. Okay, so the Pharisees are still with us, aren't they? What if we called Levi Sinead? Sinead O'Connor, singer-songwriter. A while back, she posted an emotional video saying that she was suicidal. She'd been suffering from illness and depression. She has a religious background, comes from a broken home, has courted controversy, shaved her head, four children by four fathers, had an abortion, been ordained a priest of the Irish Orthodox Catholic and Apostolic Church. An intelligent woman, wrestling with the mess that she finds inside her and the mess that she finds in the world. How do you solve a problem like Sinead? Well, look what the Pharisees say. Well, you don't. She's a sick person. Leave her. But of course, being the 21st century, the tolerant might say, well, they might post their support, might signal their virtue with a few nice, supportive words that cost nothing and solve nothing. How do you solve a problem like Levi today? What of the sick people today? What's the answer? Well, it's the same answer, isn't it? And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." The answer now, as then, is to hear the welcoming voice of Jesus and to come to him. He doesn't leave people where they are. They're sick. They're under a death sentence. And Jesus never minimizes that. He never plays down the judgment of God. And they're running downhill. And they're getting faster and faster. They're building up a momentum, going faster and faster, till they can't stop, towards the cliff edge of death, judgment, eternity, hell. And Jesus stands at the bottom of the hill with arms opened wide, arms stretched out on a cross. And he calls, the call of Jesus to sinners, and he says, "Come, come to me, and I will save you. I will save you from that punishing death you deserve to die. And I will give you a new life, life that's real, full, abundant, life that not even death itself can kill, eternal life." That fish tank, that poor fish, the thought there was no way through, no way back, so it didn't even try, just gave up. My friend, sometimes in life there is no way back, but never with Jesus. While Jesus lives, while you live, however sick I am, there is hope. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, says Jesus, but sinners. And so to our final point. How do you solve a problem like you? Now, maybe you're not a Levi, not a Harvey, not a Sinead. But says the Bible, you are sick. You are a sinner. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." Did you hear that? No one righteous. I did not come to call the righteous. No one good. This is a world of sick sinners. And that includes me. In Australia, a bloke came home, and normally he was greeted by the cheery chirping of his budgie. But as he came in the house, it was quiet. So he went up to the cage, looked in, no budgie. But at the bottom of the cage, in a coil, was a snake with a budgie-sized bump. It was squeezed through the bars, eaten the budgie, but now it was too budgie bump-shaped to squeeze out again. Trapped by its crime. And that's me. I'm trapped by my sin. I can't break free. I can't stop myself. There's a sense in which I love my sin. I love my fallenness. And I've been found out. That's why we have those moments, don't we, where we wrestle with our feelings of guilt and shame. We have a conscience. That sense that I've been seen. Somebody knows. And I don't love my neighbour as myself. I don't care for others in the way that I care for myself. And in fact, the truth is, I often hurt most those I love best. And the one I really should love, the one who's given me life, the one who is actively good to me every day, the one who really is worthy of my love and devotion and worship, the God who is, the God who made all of this, the God who made me, I've frozen him out. As far as I'm concerned, I owe God nothing. Who is God to tell me what to do? And I defy him, I wrong him, I reject him. I am a sinner. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All, you, me, everyone, the human race, have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So how do you solve a problem like you and me? Because we are the sick people. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Here's Jesus, the great physician of souls. And he has by himself prepared the cure that sick people like me need. And he went to that cross where he took, if you like, our sicknesses upon himself. The sins of countless Levites who've offended God, they were put to his account. So when God came to punish the guilty, Jesus took the blame. The prophet Isaiah puts it like this. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The physician heals the sick by taking their diseases upon himself and dying their death and then rising from the dead to give to them new life. Jesus has done it all. Jesus has done everything to make sick sinners well. So how do you solve a problem like you? Hear the call of Jesus. Come as a sinner to him. Come just as you are. And you will live. How do you solve a problem like Gerard? I had religion, but I didn't have God. And I knew I was a sinner. And I have to say this, I was fed up with being tolerated. I was fed up with, well, it was for me then, 20th century niceness. Maybe it's now 21st century toleration. I didn't want to be tolerated. To be tolerated is like sitting in a drafty, cold waiting room when the family are all inside, sitting round the fireside. I didn't want to be tolerated. But then Jesus passed by. He didn't shout at me. He didn't pick me up on another thing. Didn't make me feel like an outsider. Because his first thought wasn't to condemn. And neither did he post something nice about me. He passed by. He saw me on the outside. He said, come into the warm. Follow me. And such was the welcome in his voice. I knew he loved me. I knew he'd come looking for me. And he loved me enough to point out my sins. Loved me enough not to minimize the consequences of those sins. That the wages of sin is death, eternal punishment in that other place. But he loved me enough to die for those sins to save my soul from hell. And he loved me enough not to leave me as I was, but to raise me to a new life. A new life where blood, sweat, and tears counted for something. That here was the life that was worth living. Because here was the Lord who was worth loving. The call of Jesus found me. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So what of you? The love of Jesus calls you. Follow me. Come to me. In a country far from here, there's a knock at the door, a real hammering on the door. The door was open, and there stood a man holding his little girl, very sick. And he said to the man who opened the door, we have no medicine, no money, no transport. Help us. My friend, I am sick. I am a sick person. I am a sinner. But Jesus saves. So come knocking on his door, hammer on his door. Lord Jesus, I've no medicine, I've no money, I've no transport. I can't get out of this. But help me. You died on that cross to rescue condemned sinners. That's what I am. Help me. Save me. Rescue me. Forgive me. Change me. Jesus, have you never thought about it? He's nailed to a cross. He hangs on a cross with arms open wide, ready to embrace, ready to save. And he calls to you tonight. He says, come to me. I never turn any sinner away. Come to me. No sinner who ever turns to me is lost. Come to me, says Jesus. And he says it to you now, here in your room. He says it to you tonight. Calls to you. Hear the welcome in his voice. No one ever spoke to Levi like that. No one ever welcomed Gerard like that. The welcome in his voice, follow me. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. He's calling to you this night to come. Come for healing. Come for salvation. Come for resurrection. Come for a new life. A life that's handed over to Jesus, a life that now belongs to him, a life serving the true King, a life that can never be taken away. Eternal life. Let's put it like this. We're in a darkened room. It's a darkened room. All of us are sick. All of us are dying. And we're looking at each other, wondering what to do. And there are some, the Pharisees, who are jabbing the finger. And there are some people being very nice, very tolerant. But we're all looking at each other and we're all awaiting the same fate. Death, judgment, eternity, hell. But then Jesus comes into the room. Here's the physician that we need. Here's the one who by his cross has done everything we couldn't do to make us whole. And what does he do? He starts pulling down those curtains and throwing open the shutters. And the light of his love comes flooding into the room. And he says to you tonight, why are you sitting here? Everything has changed. Leave your sin. Rise from your old life and follow me into the light of God's new day. Let's pray. Oh, our gracious and loving Lord, we sometimes make the accusation of someone else that they are a sick person. Lord, we are sick sinners. And we are dying. And we're not ready for the judgment. And to be taken from there. To an eternity in hell. Oh, gracious God, have mercy. Have mercy upon us. Lord, everything in this message, Lord, we're preaching it through a screen. And all of those things that would militate against the reality of what we're seeking to say. Oh, may there be so many nothings. May we tonight hear the welcome, the warmth, the invitation, the music in Jesus' voice, and that we might come to him, the one who calls sinners, the one who calls me, and that we might come to him this night and find life, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.